Assalamu alaikum. This is your beloved brother Murad Muhammad live on your Block Talk Radio coming to you at
Linda.
5 p.m. And it gives me great privilege, and surely I am highly honored to do so. And brothers and sisters, you have to know that things are happening around the world, and they are trying to educate us, and most people are not allowing them to tell us the truth. And this is why we have to have communication. I listen to a lot of the African-American shows, and I feel sorry for them. And what they don't understand is that we had communication around the country, but we sold it. Now, I'm quite sure that a lot of us probably needed money at that time. Thing about people who wants to be able to control, you have a price on your head, and they want to offer you money. And sometimes it's unbelievable money. It all depends on how you negotiate. And so they come with cash, because cash money is much better than giving you a check. A check, you have to show it. Cash, nobody knows how much you receive. And currency is what runs the world. Currency, not checks. Currency. And most of the currency is not backed by gold, especially here in America. We assume it does, but it does not. We don't even know that the taxes we pay, trillions of dollars, does not go to this country. It goes to a group of people. You see, when Snipes got locked up, and Wesley Snipes, he knew what the deal was. The deal is, if you don't sign that contract in your W-2 form, then you don't have to pay no taxes. Why? Because you didn't sign that contract. And that contract says that you have to sign, because you turned over your ability to hold your money and spend it the way you want to spend it. Well, they locked him up. Why? Because he's black. You want to know why Donald Trump don't show his tax return? Because he knows that law. And they play like they're going to get him, they're going to get him, they're going to get him, but they didn't touch him. How could the President of the United States know not pay any taxes? Because he knows the law, that the tax money is no longer behind the government, it's about behind a group of people that receive that. So this is why you have to sign those contracts that says W-2 form. You never sign it. But a black man, he's going to stand up and think that law was written for him? Told him that. And the reason they had to lock him up, because you have to understand, if you get away with it, then everybody else is going to get away with it. And even though it's the law, some judge is going to find a loophole to say you're going to jail. Because if he wins, it's on the record that African-American got through, and so therefore you use that history when you go in court and they say case such and such in California was approved, Illinois was approved, and et cetera. This is what's going on today. So Wesley Snipes had to leave, and he's not even large as he was when he left. Great actor. I don't care about that. So what we don't understand is we are individuals. And because we are individuals, they don't give a damn. Nobody likes a war. But everybody will mess up on one that's by himself. And this is why we don't understand. Our preachers are not preaching it. Our rabbis are not preaching it. And yes, it's not coming out of Christianity, and it's not coming out of the brothers and sisters in Islam. we are not trying to find out what's going on. We become selfish and we just for ourselves without warning people. You wonder why you get in an accident and someone hits you in the automobile and your friend could be a Caucasian. You lost your left leg, he lost his right leg. But he gets $10 million and you get $1 million. You know, how did that happen? Well, they got an excuse for it. You see, you graduated from Southside High and did 1 year in college. That boy was 3 years in college. So they say he lost a lot because he was going to be a great football player, a great basketball player, a great baseball player. And so he's due $10 million. You was just going to come home and teach history. So you got $1 million. You are black, and he is white. So the rules don't apply to them. It's amazing that you don't understand that. And you wonder why that most of the officers are in our neighborhood and don't look like us. Because there's no money, there's no crime in their neighborhood, even though you'd be shocked and amazed that crime is. Matter of fact, you don't even know that most Caucasians that are not on the top shelf, they down there just like you, and they collect more welfare and benefits than you do. They live in trailer homes. You live in apartments. So they've been given so much because they don't want their Caucasian people, but yet they're unintelligent. They call them countrymen, and they call them all kinds of other names, but they try to help them. But they catch hell. Yes, they do. And they say, we just want welfare. We are one-third compared to them, what they collect. But they didn't just start doing that. Why do you think the black Indians that was African, why do you think the black Native Indians all look somewhat white? Because of what they have done with their land, they started taking care of the Indians, so they were getting from the government. So the white man came in and tricked them with getting high and other things, say that I'm an Indian also. Yes. Because they couldn't make money on their own. So they went amongst the Indians so they can say, we are Indian. But what happened, they began to communicate with each other. And before you know it, sex started taking place and babies started coming. And that's why you see light-skinned Indians. Isn't that amazing, brothers and sisters? I mean, this is just unbelievable that these things happen, but it happens right in front of us, but we don't understand why it's happening. Now you have found out there's over 160 physicians have came together to tell you that COVID-19 is the biggest trick in the history of the world, because it's not coming from America. These doctors and scientists is coming from another country. But as I say, because my wife told me about it, and she said, well, tell them that they're not from this country. I don't care where they're from. They're doctors. Let me ask you a question. Go into that hospital. Now, take a count, but don't count the black doctors, so you'll be there all day waiting to see a black doctor. But go in there and count how many foreign doctors are in our hospital. It's unbelievable. So common sense would tell you if those foreign doctors made this finding, what, we don't care because they're not from our country? Hell, they're the same ones that do your heart attack and operates on your heart and operates on your legs and operate on your head. Foreign doctors dominate here. Why? I'm going to tell you why. Because America benefits. Because if you go to the Philippines and you see that young lady on her knees doing the floor. They don't stand straight up. They do the floor on their knees. Yes. But ask that young lady. Say, what do you do here? Oh, I go to school. You have your degree? Yes. What are you? I got a master's degree. In what? In science. What do you have? I have I'm working on my master's in engineering. All of them are educated. Why? To come here. Because over there, brothers and sisters, you that only get $30,000 a year, you'll be a millionaire if you took that $30,000 to the Philippines. Their currency is worthless. American money is unbelievable money over there. So they want to work hard and speak exactly like you. You ever hear, you don't know they're foreign if you don't see them. And that's why they send all the who say, how say, everybody say, they send it over to the foreign countries and they talk to you from their foreign country. Why? Because they don't make $10 an hour. American money, $2 an hour. That's a lot of money. And so they cut down the people here working and go over there and save so they can make more billions and trillions. It's the reason why Nike gave you $100 million in 10 years. Because everybody came against them that they made so much money from where? Overseas. Overseas is where the sneakers being made. So the sneaker only costs $10, but your son brought a pair of sneakers for $250. This is really highway robbery, but we don't say anything. Everybody want to be like Mike. Now, I'm not knocking these countries or these various different companies. Because over the country, they're so poor, they got to work day, night, overtime just to be able to feed their people over there. But meanwhile, there's no jobs here. Everyone that just moved out. Because why? It's cheaper. It's the shame and the disgrace. But until we come together and move as one, they're not going to be able to do that to you. Now, I'm not asking you all, because in Islam, we believe we are gifted that we have learned all of Revelation. We feel good that we have accepted the only book that we claim that Allah wrote, God himself, through the Prophet Muhammad, prayers, peace upon him. But isn't it amazing that you got all of that but can't produce nothing? So you got to say, God didn't make no mistake. Well, what is it? Is that they done came to the standing that they're going to get there now. Who are you talking about, Marat? Emails? Yes. Just like the Christians. The same thing. They want theirs now. You know, Reverend Ike used to say, get yours now, not that pie in the sky. So you better get yours now because he had about 25 automobiles. He was saying, get yours now. At least he was preaching that. And this is what's happening. We are dying slowly. That's how they're killing us. Because people are waking up on these guns. It's just a disgrace how people are being murdered. But it's going to stop, and they know it's going to come to a stop. And so what they're doing now, they're tricking us into shooting our babies with needles that's going to kill them. Shooting yourself with needles that's killing you. I know a lot of people have lost their life. But let me tell you something, and there's no discrimination. Ignorance has no discrimination. Stupidity has no discrimination. Stuck on stupid has no discrimination. It will attack you. We got Muslim men and women dying. I heard one person say, because this is what they tell you, I'll release this body to the grave. Why? They know you're not going to dig down in that grave and bring that body back up and do an autopsy to find out what really happened to my mother, what happened to my father, what happened to my husband, what happened to my wife. Why? Why, brothers and sisters? Because they stuck on stupid. I have to tell you that that earth is not that person, and that's why they got them. Why do you think that because you are in a religion that you don't wake up and realize that earth is earth, and earth goes back to earth? Preacher says it just right. Ashes to ashes, that's all it is, and dust to dust. You're going to return. Not you, human being. The flesh returns. And so therefore, in your mind, oh, I ain't going to find out that they killed my father. I'm not going to find out they killed. Why? I really don't want to know. You selfish individual. What about the rest of the people dying that you can say, hey, you better do what I've done. You know, when Imam Ali Muslim passed away, the man that loved him, may Allah be pleased on the ground of paradise, the man that loved him was Imam Waluddin Muhammad. All he had to do was call him. He'd come into Newark. When he left, you notice he didn't come to Newark anymore, because the love that Ali Muslim had for Imam Waluddin Muhammad, may Allah bless him and send him to paradise. But what happened on Friday at Juma, he didn't come out. He was in Chicago. On Saturday, he didn't come out. The man said, go look for him. Found him dead in his room. You know what the man said? I want an autopsy. Whoa! Because we want to find out, did he die a natural death? Now, brothers and sisters, just think about this. When your baby come out of the womb and is stillborn, you cannot get away. The law wants to know. I want to do an investigation. Why? To see if you killed that child. Why? Because they love the baby? Hell no. They want to put you in jail if you did. So that's why they want autopsy, because they don't know what you did. And that's a baby. Now, in the Psalm, we understand that that child has gone in the womb. Didn't come here. No need to judge that child. But the law wants to know what happened. We just put it in the ground, because we ain't trying to figure out what the mother has done, and rightfully so. Now, what's happening today? Today, they're telling you came and touch your husband. You came and come around your husband. You can't come around your wife, your daughter, so they're in there by themselves with no knowledge, no help. Why? Because we're individual, and they kill us. And we can know it, but what we do, we get stuck on stupid. Well, you know, I don't want to touch the body. I don't want to harm my father, my husband, or my wife, or my children. That's the stupidity. See, brothers and sisters. Now, I want you to think about this. You remember when those twin towers went down? You remember that? Did you not see those bodies come out that window? In your mind, you are really shocked and amazed. You're more hurt than the deceased. Why? Because you see earth coming out those windows. You think Allah is unmerciful that he will let you fall from the 80th, come down and hit this concrete and just splatter? You think God will allow that? No, that human is gone. That spirit that Allah breathed into our father is gone. Allah removes it. So anything hitting that earth is earth.
Dr. Mahdi.
And because nothing else hits the earth, but the earth should tell you what the human being is. You know, I tell people, and I've been teaching on this radio for years, I said, we are so physical that we are into the flesh of our wife. And my God, you marry your wife, and she's built like a pitcher cola bottle. She got pretty hair, long hair. She's slim and trim, very good teeth. But that goes away as you get older. So if you get older, some man says, well, I'm going to go give you another one because she ain't in shape no more. And that's because you fell in love with the flesh. This is what Allah is saying to you in the Quran. You don't know your wife. You know the flesh of your wife. You know the externality of your wife, but you don't know your wife because that love for her heart, that love for her spirit, that love for her taqwa, that love for her soul does not die. It stays with you until you pass away. Because we don't learn the internal organs of the human being. So this is why we are hung up on flesh. That's like paganism. That's the first thing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam tried to get them away from. The grave. Nothing in that grave. There's nothing in the grave. Why you have to go to the grave? Allah is closer in your jungle, man. I don't see you in the grave. So you can talk to Allah whenever you want. I'm not saying you go past the grave, Lord. You go grass away, Lord. You say, Bismillah. It's all right. But you don't put emphasis on the grave. And so they came here and changed us. We was all brothers and sisters. We was doing it. We love each other. We knocked doors. We want to know who's hurting, who ain't. They wasn't even in Islam. But they came because of us. And so as we come into the knowledge, which we thought we had, because Allah judges you with what you know. He does not punish a person that didn't know. But if you know and you can't produce, something is wrong. And what's happening today is that Allah shut us down and let you know, I don't need you, man. All that praying y'all did, I don't need you. Tell me how many prayers did George Floyd make. Tell me. But yet he's one of the most popular men that will go down in history. Why? Because that's how Allah works. He takes the insignificant one, the one you don't have no understanding about who he is and what he is. Because Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, walked this earth for 40 years, love, and didn't know nothing about religion. Why? He was in the tomb, in the soul of his nature. That's what he did for 40 years. That's what God is saying. Man, you don't even need this education in this world. Get back to your deen, al-fitra. Thing is, no one man, no imam is over no community. Where you get that from? The community puts them there. The community takes them down. I know what happened. We got cliques. 10 people voted in every year, 40 years. But never ask the community. Never ask, oh, you don't live in my city, so you ain't part of the community. We want them all around the world. But no, we come in and cut them up. And I have to say it. I have to say it. The reason why Africa is catching hell, there's 250 dialogues of languages. And there's 250 tribes. When one tribe get in, that's who rules. So everybody else catch hell. Now here they got gold, they got silver, they got oil, they got thing you need. But who came and took it? Because they were stuck on stupid. Now I'll say it, because I'm mad enough to say it. Gaddafi had them their money together. They was getting ready to tell them Europeans that you're getting out of our country. They killed Gaddafi. I saw, I seen, and I destroyed. What did you destroy? One man? Hell no. Thousands of babies, thousands of men and women and children. You tore up the whole country, and that's what they're doing today. Don't you ever think these Black Lives Matter is tearing up their own city. They, sisters and brothers, no one taught us how to make a bomb and put it in the bottle. We'll blow ourselves up. But they came in here and played like they was with them, and they destroyed. That's what they do. They destroy what we built. They don't want us to have anything. Just go back and look at the Black Wall Street. You mean one little girl claimed, which they found out was not true, that he had sex with her because she didn't want to tell her mother she was pregnant? You destroyed the whole city, everything that the Black man built. That was just a justify. They moving too strong. They moving too hard. They got men plotting in us. And man, what Warasi Muhammad says, and they know this language up and down because they taught to come amongst us and make us feel like they better than us. Hell, man, we speak English. The Quran is for you to get a clear understanding so you can give it back to the English-speaking people. But these people come in the masjid don't even know what the hell you're talking about. So how are they going to pay their rent? Now, I know the foreigners know, but why are they here? Oh, I go on Mount Evans, said 40% didn't want to really accept Islam in their country, but it was forced to. You, if you didn't have Islam in the Islamic country, you was an outcast. There's no democracy in those countries. Go to that country and go to their normal people. You say, whoa, how do they live like this? Now, we in the ghetto, but it's paradise when they came over here. But they went into our hospitals, they went into our engineering, they went into our science department, and now they are successful. But they ain't give none to us. All these major masjids is built in where? The suburbs. Why? Stay away from my nest. They Muslim. Oh, in their mind, we've proven that we are, but they ain't accepting because why? They take their money elsewhere. But I walk amongst all of them. And I talk like this. I said, y'all the new niggas. I said, because he will send you back home. Now, they can't send us nowhere. They'll tell you that your papers ain't right and you can't come back in this country. I got a call from a very successful foreign brother, Mr. Muhammad. Can you help me? I said, what do you want me to do? I need this brother to come back here. Can you go to the flag man and find out if he wanted? Now, would I not do that? I get the barricades to do it. But why am I being called? Because they need to come back in and get locked up for something they might have done. You see, America is a blessing. Not because our guns and our Navy and our Army and our Marines and the weaponry we have. Allah bless us because everything in the world lives here. You go to Israel and you want to kill all the Jews, you'll find a whole lot of them. You go to Saudi Arabia and you want to kill a lot of Arabs, a lot of them over there. You want to kill a lot of Christians, go to them, but you want to kill Muslims, Jews, Christians, Hindus, and everything in all walks of life, they here in America. So Allah protects us. And that's why we don't catch the hell that other parts of the world have. But yet, it has hit us. All of us. All of us. Sitting around waiting what's going to happen next. Well, brothers and sisters, I told a brother, I said to him, I said, in the Quran, it says, if you don't give credit where credit due, you get no more. Now, I want to tell you, if you don't know, and I'm Now, Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, I ain't come here to teach y'all religion because it was too dirty and filthy. You can't come to prayer unless you do wudu. So it took him the whole 43 years to build us. And he said, one after me will teach you your true religion. So whatever he did, Allah forgave him. Because he never told us to teach us religion. He introduced us, but he did something so outstanding. We got morals unbelievable. We love our wives. We're loyal to our wives. We're loyal to our children, regardless of what kind of trouble they get in. We're right there for them. We love each other. And guess what? We don't drink. We don't snort coke. We don't sell dope. We don't give people bad food that we won't eat. And guess what? We don't smoke cigarettes. Because the Honorable Muhammad taught us fire on one end and a fool on the other. So we didn't smoke. So I tell them all the time, I say, I'll match our internal faith of what we were taught by the Honorable Muhammad against all of you. You got brothers selling pork to Christians, and you say, wait a minute, I'm not eating it. Come on, brother. I had to say that. But I want to go to my topic before I open up the line. And I want to speak about a surah in the Quran. It's a short surah, but you can write volumes on it. Volumes. I'm a student of the Imam Wahdatuddin Muhammad, and my success is reading the Quran. I don't do nothing. If it ain't in the Quran, I don't do it. You read me a hadith, and if it fit my nature, I accept it. If it don't fit my nature, or I read the Quran and it says other way, I reject it. Well, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I ain't giving you two gifts. He said, I'll leave you two gifts, the Quran and the Sunnah. So you got most imams that says, they say it. I'm an imam, but I say, call me Miraj. Only when I'm doing Juma. Outside Juma, I'm your little brother. Do I lie sometimes? Yes. But I beg God for forgiveness. That's the only difference. That's the only difference. So I'm just like you. Remember what I see Muhammad said, why you keep calling me Iman? I said, brother Iman. He said, there you go again. I said, well, what do you want me to call? Wallace. Don't you call the twins by their first name? I said, okay, I'll call you Wallace, brother Iman. There you go again. What was he trying to say? Don't put me over top of you. Yes, Allah gave me a gift. And my gift is to give it back to all of you. But if you go read the Quran on your own, you don't need me. You don't need no third party. But you have to talk to our God. And when you talk to God, Allah knows your heart. If your heart ain't pure, you ain't getting it. It's just that. You don't reach Allah. So what they say is that how are we going to know the sunnah if we don't listen to the hadith? Well, you just saying the Quran ain't sufficient. Because Allah says anything small or big is in the Holy Quran. Ain't that something? So everything is in the Quran. Your whole life, your beginning of your life from Adam coming in this world is in the Quran. And so I don't fault me that I hear and I obey. And God says, dress my creation. So I went to the world. Because why? The Prophet Muhammad taught humanity. Humanity. Yes, you want to deal with just your family, remember. You want to deal with just your immediate community, the African-American community. And Allah says humanity. So I went to humanity, and that's how I became successful. But it's very difficult to give it back. Because why? You know, you're Brother Paul Fivex, and you're going to always be Brother Paul Fivex. So I didn't evolve. Is Malcolm going to always be a dope dealer? Going to always going to be a pimp with women? Is Malcolm be the one that sells drugs? No, he evolved. And they named schools after him. And they give him the credit, because why? He evolved. Cassius Clay evolved. Muhammad Ali, I'm the greatest of all time, and sent us around the world. Nobody knew it was Muslims in this country. This little Farrakhan had buck teeth and used to play his instrument on in Harlem. A black man, a white man's heaven is a black man's hell. And look at him today. Don't tell me we don't evolve. Fifth of a human being. and our ancestors prayed hard. Oh, Lord, I'll accept this abuse. Lord, I will accept this abuse, but please, Lord, take care of my offspring. That's the covenant. Made a contract with Allah, and Allah gave it to us, and what's happening? We're going to sleep. The Jews kept it for themselves. Allah had to send Jesus to stop them from multiplying. Then they want to tell you he created Christianity. It's a lie. They say they crucify him. That's a lie. He never knew nothing about Christianity. Well, who created the Jews? The good Jews. Allah permitted it. Then they came with the Trinity. Oh, is that what you want to do? So Allah says, okay, man, you want religion? I prefer Islam to be your religion. I perfected it to be perfect. That's when it came. There was no Islam back then. Because why? We were acting in our nature. Man got off the course, got away from his deen out of fiction. Deen, don't want to keep that in mind. Deen means debt. You, me, and no one can help you with that debt. You got to stand on your own two feet. And you'll be questioned. But they want to tell you you're going to get questioned in the grave. Just think about it. The one that created the heavens and earth, everything between, is going to send somebody in the dead grave to question you. Well, that's sick. That's sick. And more important, where is this from God we came and God we returned? That's a good saying, but what are you returning to? There's no place you're going. So where are you returning to? Back to the nature, the being of Fitcher, how he created us, the Khalifa of the world. We stoop down to animal nature. So we say with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. The praise and thanks is for God. We thank him for the gift and the blessings of the mortal human person, Muhammad, the honorable and noble servant, the messenger of God that follows that salute, that translation, that salutation to the last prophet, Prophet Muhammad Ibn Abdullah, the son of Abdullah, that is mentioned in the Injil, mentioned in the Gospel, and mentioned in the Bible, as it is given in the Holy Quran, surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. We say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin wa salatu wa salam wa rasulil kareem sallallahu alaihi wa sallam sallakallah wa deen. Brothers and sisters, there is a short sore, and I didn't want to teach it. I taught it one time. The sisters asked me to teach it. If Salima was on the phone, she said, Brother Murad, I want to hear that. You come with different things, that, but you can't just read that sore. That short sore. You know, it's a short sore. The sore, we say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Was in there, send it, let's see, who's in the Ladina Avenue, what Avenue, Sati, Hati, what tubbers of the hot, the tubbers of the Saba. That's a short sore. But if you go and stop just reading and study that sore, you'll be there for. Because that short sword, you can write volumes just on that sword. The Quran ain't just for you just to read it, and not comprehend it. You can be on one sword for 3 or 4 months. But see, we praise God. We say, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We read in the Quran that the small chapter, us, we are asking Allah for protection from Satan, the enemy of all human beings, not just us. This is Waus. It begins with Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. It begins with every chapter in the Quran, except the 9th chapter of the Quran, you don't say Bismillah. Now, everybody likes to know why. Because the 8th chapter, the extension of the 8th is the 9th. So you don't say Bismillah. That's the only one. But every part of the Surah of the Quran Then it became the word of us, time, by the time. And that translated as by the token of time. And this is why in the Quran they'll give you several words when you read this to let you know it's more than what you think, because you just read, you're not comprehending. It also means hour. But scripture before that, it says, a day with your Lord is 1,000 years with God. 1,000 years is nothing but one day with God. Just think about it. 1,000 years. When you're doing good, you're working for God. You see, Job and your grandmother, my grandmother, you say, you got the patience of Job? And I always wanted to know about that, Job, because Job had a lot of patience, the hell he'd been through. But if you take that vowel off, move that E, it's job. Are you working for God or are you working for yourself? Because your work of God is 1,000 years that he gives you when you choose to work for God. And when you work for God, you work for humanity. What time, hours did you get up? That is not the hour that God is talking about. The hour. This not means your clock. This is bigger. In the time of man on this planet Earth, this is big. Off is large. And you think it's man's time. Allah needs nothing from his creation. He says it all the time. Anytime you put anything physical to Allah's words, you lost it. Because he don't talk and use anything man created. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says it right there in the Quran. I create the heavens and the earth for you, man. And I need nothing from you or my creation. Well, that's separation there. He has no partners, no associates. He has no wife. He has no children. You can't approach him now. He allows you to approach him. You just can't walk to God. You got to earn your way. Muhammad the prophet, Jesus the prophet, Abraham the prophet, Moses the prophet. And should I go on? They are prophets to us, but they're not prophets to God. God needs nobody to prophesy for him. They are slave servants to the will of God. And so they come to us to prophesy what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen next year, 10 years from now. So when people say, what's going on today? Go in the Quran. Go get Job and see if he had patience, because he lost everything. He lost his land. He lost his cattle. He lost his children, blood up to his calf. He lost his good looks. But he never gave up on God. And Allah rewards him to be more stronger, allow him to evolve. But he never gave up on God. We lose our car, we upset. We lose our money, we upset. And you can always make some money. Muhammad the prophet is a mercy to all the world, to all of them. Wherever they are, he's the mercy. That's in Revelation. It's in the Quran. The prophet has known anything of this. He didn't not have any access to any of this knowledge. It's in the Quran. What kind of book is this that leaves out nothing small or big? Nothing. This is what the Quran says. It leaves nothing out. So don't tell me you got to go to a third book to learn about God or learn about the prophet. The prophet is a perfect example. Well, Murad, how can the prophet be a perfect example when Allah says there's no man created perfect? And if you don't sin, he will erase you from the earth and replace you with more people that will sin. That's true. That is true. I'm not faulting you. But comprehend why he's perfect. Because for 23 years, consistently, when Allah told him, Nikra, read. There was no piece of paper there, so he couldn't read the piece of paper. There was no ink, because then that would have been man. Read. Read in the name of your Lord. He didn't even tell him who he was. Read in the name of your Lord that created. Meaning, study matter. Study why that sun and the moon is moving. Study why the night comes and the day comes. Study what it all means. It's in you, brother. It's in you, sister. And don't let nobody tell you that from the neck down, yes, you're a female, I'm a man. But your soul is the same as mine. Your spirit is the same as mine. Your DNA or feature is the same as mine. And your taqwa, if you obedience to God, is the same as us. So there's no such thing as male and female when it comes to God's creation. And that's another thing. We put emphasis on hand. You gave it hand. Allah says it's my two controller man along me. Don't you ever think your mama wasn't the first mercy. Oh, do we love our mother. We love our mother. We'll kill for her. We'll die for her. Because why? Actually, that little baby growing up, he was God. We didn't know no God. We knew our mama. But then when you come to El-Rahim, you know, graduate, because El-Rahim is now in tune with Allah, and you learn that Allah is the God. He created mama. He created daddy. Wow. So we know how to put our mothers in place. That's why we get married. My mama can't do what our wife do, because she will go straight to hell, and you will too. So these are common sense that Allah gives to us. And so when you talk about Fatiha, when you're talking about Fatiha, that's the opening of the intellectual mind that allows you to come back to your soul and then read no other soul. So after that, when you say, Amin. But what about Bakra? What about Hanaf? It's Sadaqallah with me. But they won't tell you that. Because they laugh, these boys say they are, but look how they think. It's right there in the Quran. Go read it, brother and sister. Don't have to trust me. Go see if you see anyone of them sore say Amin after Fatiha. Surely Allah Almighty speaks the truth. That's it. So Muhammad the prophet was perfect because he gave us 23 years what God said, not what he said. No, he didn't. He didn't give us what he said. Because if he gave us what he said, he could not be perfect. He wasn't created to be perfect. But giving us what God says make him a perfect human being to all of us. So we have to understand, brothers and sisters, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala glorified his name, give us these different stories and crimes to allow us to grow. Allow us to see life and what life is all about. It is the time. What is the time? The time is difficult for the word us. What? The Quran is powerful, rich, potent. It gives you the comprehension. It allows you to be able to create a volume with a few words to communicate. What? Where do we get the difficult from? What? Oof. Yes, surely it's difficult. This world is so big and broad. It's the concept of man's life in history, man's life in time, man's life in the world is difficult. What? By the token of time. This is Allah. Now, brothers and sisters, I got people that's waiting for me to let them speak. I can speak about this. I'm back on Friday. I can come back on Saturday. I can come back. I can talk about this, and I haven't got to the other part of that sore, short sore. This is how powerful God's words are in the Holy Quran. But we got away from it. We let people tell us what to do. Now, I want to tell you, I have to say it, and I'm opening up the line. I have to say it. I had Omar tell me, he said, man, when you were 10 years old, you was telling us what to do. I don't know that. I'm telling you now. I got people saying I've given so much money to them. I don't know that. That don't stay on my mind. I want to know what I'm doing today, not 1,400 years ago. May Allah be pleased with the companions. But that's 1,400. What are we doing today? Listen to what the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu. They asked him a question. Oh, Rasuli, oh, messenger of God. Oh, Rasuli, are we your best followers? He said, no, you're my best companions. My best followers is those who can't see me, can't touch me, can't feel me. Is that not the African-American? Because we couldn't touch him, we couldn't feel him, we didn't know nothing about him, didn't care nothing about him, didn't even know his name. But today, I say, my brothers in the East are rich with oil. We are rich with the spirit of the Quran. And the Holy Quran will get us through here. Allah is close to the Union Jugular Vein because the Prophet, that was a hell of a battle. That was the last battle. But he was fearful too. And so was the men because they was outnumbered. Let's say 1,000 of them or 100 of them. Then Allah sent a message to him. Angel Jabir said, Allah said he is near. That was it. That man went to give their life and won. And that's why they all start saying he had to be sent by God. He wasn't supposed to win that war. He was outnumbered. We are outnumbered with Satan. Satan is trying his best to get us to do the things that he wants to do, and we fall for it. Yes, you got to allow that, Jen. And don't worry about nobody else's gin, because you can't allow nobody else's gin. But that gin is in you, buddy. And Allah says in the Quran, his schemes are weak. So I'm going to start this off with my beautiful niece, my lovely specimen of a human being, Robert Seven's oldest child. Salima, are you there? If you are, you could speak up, take your phone off. Are you there?
Abdullah Muhammad.
Well, you might be on time, Abdullah, because I don't hear Salima. She might not have been able to come on. But now that you're on, you're the first one, Abdullah Muhammad. And I want to say something about you, man. I really make a dua for you because that brother, Rasul, he was carrying our flag in 1955. And he's been with us ever since and ran a successful Hajj shore board. Done a wonderful job. Now he's ill. His home looked like garbage outside. The people was angry and upset. Here you come. Here you come, and my God, you sent me the pictures. I couldn't believe it, how you took care of his home and painted it up and took over 90 bags of garbage. And we got to give credit to that sister because the sister saw you doing that. She got out of her car and said, I'll help you. I said, she carried bags. She said, brother, if I did 90, she did 40. So this is what we're supposed to do because he's ill. And nobody comes around to see him. We need some sisters. I told you, create a corporation because this is needed. Our brothers and sisters are dying home. homeless shelters and everything because no one cares. They old and they gone. How, man, when I came in, the first one that was on that roster teaching was not just Minister James, it was Rasul. And he's been with his name is over top of the Sister Claire Muhammad of Jersey City. And, of course, he worked for me for 10 years. And so what I'm saying to you, I'm not trying to build your head up. I'm trying to motivate you. It's like Muhammad the Prophet said when Bilal, he said, Bilal, how much money are you giving? He said, brother, he said, oh, Rasuli. He said, I thought you ain't supposed to disclose your generosity. It's in Baccarat. He said, if you give in to motivate people and you tell them about it, then it's permissible. Yes, it's permissible. So I'm saying it for you. What's your question today?
Yes, before the question, just for the record, sir, I'd like to get a sister her just due credit. The one that was helping out, her name is Sister Jamila. I believe it's Jamila Muhammad, a.k.a. Cassandra Page. For the records, and giving her just to, you don't put the woman behind us, you don't put them in back of us, you put them alongside of us. The question I have tonight, can you hear me?
I hear you.
Question I have tonight is a simple one. Why don't we have our own community, whether it's big, small, or our own neighborhood, so we can worship in peace, enjoy each other in peace, and don't have to be bothered on a day-to-day basis, hour-to-hour basis, with all this foolishness that other people decide that they want to do. We live a different lifestyle.
Well,
that's my question.
We say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I always ask Allah to guide my tongue, because I don't like to put myself into it. But let me tell you what Imam Waterstein Muhammad said. I asked him similar question just like that. And I said, Brother Imam, you know what I feel bad about is that the leaders are not leading and they're not qualified to lead and they won't sit down. I said, but I feel sorry for the community. He said, no, don't feel sorry for them. If they want to sit on the stupidity, that's what they're going to get. They're not going to grow. He said, the community is supposed to sit them down. He said, everybody sits down. The President of the United States, he can only go for eight years. You know, he's got to do good to get in for the next four. He said, everything is not guaranteed. But for whatever reason, he said, I made a mistake in not defying to them when I told them to split up. It was only to protect us that they don't do to us what he did to my father. We was under one umbrella. So being under one umbrella, here they come, they take us all down. That's why we lost the money, the farm, and everything. That's not going to happen no more. But I didn't mean to go home and separate us as one. I meant take care of your own responsibility in your own masjid. But when we were following the Honorable Muhammad, we had satellite temples. But on Fall Sunday, whoa, that was the Sunday, brother. We raised 40,000. We was together. We understood that you can't stay away, because if you stay away, it's like your children. They stay away too long, you won't forget them, but you pretty much don't give a damn. That's what they want to do. But when your children come all the time, only want to be there, they're there for your birthday, they're there for your holiday, you got your son. You see, brother, let me show you why in Islam it works. We love our children, and our children go do wrong. And we'll give them hell, but we'll protect them. We'll try to help them. We'll try to clear. That's love. Allah said, I'll try you with that which you love. Your wife can have a problem. I don't care what kind of problem it is, she can have a problem. So Allah says, that's your trial. Your wife and your children is a trial, and I'm only going to try you with that which you love. You don't leave your wife. You protect your wife. You help your wife. Now Allah says 2, 3, or 4. But the point I'm saying to you, Allah is saying is your trial is what you love. And so, yes, this is happening. But you cannot, you got to be like Harriet Tubman. She told him, if you just get on this boat and go over to the next land, you're free.
No, Miss Tubman. I like sitting here and just have 300 people every day. No, Miss Tubman. I like to be who I am because you take that away from me. I have no identity. No, I'm not going to tell you how much money. You come and ask me, I'm going to tell you you can't. It's not the time. You ain't on my board.
Hey, this is not Islam. So this thing that's happening with Black Lives Matter, they are doing what we're supposed to be doing. They have locked to all humanity, and they shutting them down. Because why? It's power. They in the prison. They in the schools. They in the city halls. They told the governor, mayor, the governor of New York, that we didn't put you there to go and speak like you are a politician. We put you there to take care of our affairs. Stick to your job. Man, who talks to Cohen like that? 1 million people. Who talks to this man? I got to be behind the police officer. Go ahead and do it. You ain't getting in office. All of a sudden, he moved the money. That's power. See, mercenaries, you take them and bump them off because there's no repercussion, and most of Trumps don't want repercussion. So I think that was an excellent question, but we can't give up on them. Tell you, I'm going to say it. I can say it because I'm all man, capital M-A-N. He said, you know, Ms. Farrakhan one day will come. I won't see it in my lifetime. He said, but don't push up on him. But if he calls you, you come to open arms. You never give up. You never give up. That's our brother. Now, I learned that. Every time I go and run with open arms, he called me. I don't call nobody. I don't ask for the post. A brother said to me, he said, Brother Murad, when do you want to do Juma? I said, when do I want to come to your house? No, you tell me when you invite me. I gave it to you and threw it back. I said, I ain't throw it back, brother. You didn't invite me. You asked when I want to come. I don't think like that. So 3 months came back, and he finally offered it to me. That's how I am. That's the way I want to be. I don't want to be over top of nobody. The Khalifa is the rare. We're the last one to come into this world. We are the rare, but we're the overseers, but we ain't the dictators. We're not the dictators. El Islam, as the imam, we teach the Quran. We get up and do Juma. But outside of that, we ain't overtopping no community. I tell them up there in Connecticut, I did my job. Now y'all want me to be the imam. I'm not over four walls in the ceiling. Because I'll go crazy. That's why I'm like the Masjid Haram. It has no roof. Sky is the limit, man. You ain't putting me in no can and stick me in one city. I talk to the world, inshallah. What's your second question?
No, I only have one for tonight. If somebody else, hope somebody else is listening, they could have the opportunity.
Well,
I will have two the next time. Trust me.
Yeah. I call Salima and Samad. Are you out there, Samad? But I want to say there's a man that I love like my own biological brother. That man is unbelievable. His heart is, you know, they said Muhammad the Prophet, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's heart was expanded. When I was young at 12, 13, I didn't really know what that meant, how you can expand someone's heart. Then when you put humanity in your heart, it expands. But this brother, he don't know. I heard his voice, and I welcome him with open arms. Madid is on the phone. If he asks me a question, I'll be happy to try to answer it. But if he don't do no one give me degrees, I just want to acknowledge I heard Madid. I did a lot. Are you on the phone, Madid?
Yeah.
I was thinking, man, and I heard your voice. I heard your voice as if I was in your house.
That's how much I got love for that,
brother.
I said, Madee, you know, Madee, when I was speaking in England, 500 men, white men with cigars and tuxedos on, my mother was there. And my mother said to me,
Andrietta,
why do you keep looking at the door? I said, why am I looking at the door, Mama? I'm waiting for Daddy to walk in. She said, you kidding? I said, I've been looking at that door for years so my father could see me. Well, you surely you ain't my father. I'm older than you. But to know that Madee, that joint conference call, I said, $100 will get out of me. I must be doing something right. You have a question for me, Madee?
No, I was calling in just listening to you.
Just
sharing a whole lot of life. I'm just glad to be here to be a part of it. I didn't have a particular question. I was just listening. I have heard from you some years now, brother, but you have matured into a beautiful flower, man. I'm overwhelmed, really.
Alhamdulillah.
But it's good to see that the light is in you, brother. And
one day with your Lord,
whatever support I can give you, whatever I can do, brother, just put me down as one of the arms that can reach out to help you. Whatever you need. If you need anything, just call me. And put me to work. I have a
sister from Arkansas. He may not talk, but I'm asking. I heard you. And this sister.
You heard me.
she's so beautiful. This sister's been with me for 7 years. And this sister said, my God, when you came on in Arkansas, she said, we can't put it down. And the sister that introduced me to her. Now, these sisters came up with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They was in the Sister Prayer of Muhammad School. And these sisters are educated. All of them out of there is educated. That's where the great-grandson of Booker T. Washington ended up in Arkansas. So all of them was very educated and came around our community. How are you, beautiful?
Assalamu alaikum. I'm well. I'm well. They had a little business to take care of today, and then I came. Then I got back. I said let me tune into the show and just listen and see what's going on. So I was. You hadn't gone on, so alhamdulillah, getting back, just listening to your wonderful show as usual.
Well, I thank you because you are one of my motivators. Anytime you can call me and say, Brother Murad, you talked about what time is it? And you said, my God, you was off the hook. Brother Murad, see, those are the things. It doesn't make my head big, I'm telling you. It just said, work harder. That's Allah. Allah sends men to men and motivates you to go out and do all that you can do. So I'm happy that you tune in. Now, let's see who else we have. That Warren out there. Anyone out there that want to come in on the line, just take your phone off the mute and introduce yourself. I'll be happy to talk to you. Well, since we don't have anyone else out there to speak, and I'm quite sure there's a lot of other people on the line because I got 24 clicks and I stopped listening, so it came off for a reason. Well, brothers and sisters, I tried my best to stick to the things that will allow you to see the Quran the way you ought to see it. I taught by Imam Waluddin Muhammad. And I know all the stories of all the prophets, and not all. But one brother told me there's 125,000 of them. I know the seven
very well. And I knew their life story, and every man said, boy, you sure can comprehend. And then about 5 years before he passed me, he said, all right, get all that fairy tales out your head. And shocked me. I said, I wondered, you know, he's the E-man. I ain't going to question him. And he said, all of those stories in the Quran is you. It's every human being. You want to see your life? Study the Quran. This is the seventh prophet. Say recent. They study the prophet, and you'll find out in their life is in your life. That's why Allah gave us that picture. So the reason why I could be a part of this shoreboard, and a lot of the brothers from the foreign countries started gravitating to me, because they never heard that. And so I started studying the matter of what all this means. And he told me, don't stay in the Bible, but there's no taboo about the Bible. He said, the Bible is revelation before the Quran came. And that's what the Bible ended with. It started with Genesis, and it ended with Revelation. The Quran began with Revelation, so that should tell you something. He said, now, they tamper with it, so that's why you can't stay in there, because Satan's in there. But don't ever say it's taboo. Matter of fact, if you read the Bible and you came to Islam, you find yourself more sharper because you already learned and you fell in love with those prophets. But now you got to take that physical and put it into everyday life. And you have to be balanced. This is why they talk about the cross. But they felt that you wasn't intelligent enough to know the difference from a physical cross and your crossroad. When you stick your arm out, that's the cross. Now you have to balance yourself. You walk a tightrope, you got to have a stick, and it's got to go horizontal, and you got to balance yourself. So that's the cross. What cross did Jesus carry? He crossed the burden that was given to him to do what? God's work. He said, I come to work for my Father, but it said Father in the Bible. He come to work for his Lord. It's okay. I was taught that the Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not judge you by what you say wrong. He only judges our heart. And that's why I tell people we can't judge each other. We can't judge another man. You can't give up on them. Yes, they stuck on stupid. Yes, they do things that they shouldn't do. But you can't give up on them. But you don't dwell there. You don't let association bring about assimilation. So I knew nothing. Why nobody around me had money. I wanted to be a millionaire, so I wanted to go around the millionaires. I wanted to be a billionaire, so I went around the billionaires. So association bring about assimilation. You're around people that wants to do things in life, it rubs off. But if you stay complacent, I say this, and I think I get a good joy saying so because everybody's eyes just open. Everything I've done, I walked in with God's name. Never had the money, just had the will that I think I can do it. And the only way I believe I can do it, because it's in the Quran, anything you do that's correct, already been written. Wow. It's already written. Well, how do you get to it? You got to work for it. If you don't put in the effort, Allah won't give it to you. You take a step, he takes two. So you got to go after what you believe you can do. And then if you reach your goal, then raise the bar to another goal. You reach that goal, raise the bar. So my whole life story is how I evolved. But I never evolved. I pray. Everybody, my wife would tell you, I don't miss no prayer. I sleep and I'll jump right up and say, whoa, I forgot Isha. Prayer is all my prayer. But I never prayed for money. I always prayed, how could I help my community, Lord? How could I do better so I can give back, Lord? How can I help this? How can I do this? I never, ever said, oh, Lord, give me money, because that's all you'll get. You go to Hajj? You want money? Because you're in the Hajj, I'll give it to you. You want a husband? Allah will give it to you. You want a wife? Allah will give it to you. You want a home? Allah will give it to you. But if you go around that Kaaba and say, oh, Allah, whatever you choose, Allah, I accept. Boy, you got the world. That's what he wants from us. So he wants us to address his creation. Where's our skyscrapers? Where's our planes? Where's our homes? Where's our school of thought? Where's our playgrounds for our children. Now, individually, you don't want a man to work hard and he got to go in his pocket and give you $1 million out of his money. But if we got 1 million people, he got 100, I got 100, and 100 million all day long. And don't let it be 1,000. So collectively, God says you're strong. One ummah. But it, now we are now talking to our brothers from Pakistan, India, talking about, and I told them, you know why you're in this country? I'm going to tell you why. We broke. We can't go to India, but now India. But now we can go to a town called, that's where the Indian brothers are. That's the brothers where the Pakistan are. That's where the brothers from Turkey are. They all got groups here. So now all we got to get in our car, and most we have to drive is 20 minutes, 15 minutes, and we in Italy. We're in Germantown. We're in all, because why? Everybody in the world is here. We don't have to go to their country. We can learn their culture while we're here, and that's a mercy to us because we deserve it. No one suffered like we suffered. So in knowing that, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad never told you he hates the foreigners. He said, keep them out, because he knew we would be attracted to them. We knew it. He knew it. He said, unalikes attract and alike repel. So if we can shut down all these holidays and follow a man with third grade education, why do we love him? Because we benefited. We benefited. And because we benefited, we love them. So you can't be an imam over the community. The only one benefit is you and 10 others. If the people is benefiting, you growing, they with you. I'm going to say this to you all, and I'll tell you, it's a true story. 10 women, not 10 men, 10 women came to me. And that woman told me she wanted to buy a masjid. She found it. I said, where is it? She said, right there in Philadelphia. I got a problem. She said, what? Got a star statement on there. I said, well, there's Jewish. There's a Jewish company. He said, yes, but I want that star on. So it got me. She said, the star is off, Lord. I said, well, how'd it get off? The Christians brought it. So they took the star off. I said, well, the Christians brought it. It ain't your building. Oh, I prayed to Allah that building. She said, she got the building. I said, you kidding? How much? 2.5 million. 3, something like that. I rounded off to the nearest decimal. So I said, well, how much you got, sister? Not one nickel. I said, my God. That's what it is. You got to have faith. And that system, sisters, listen to me. And I said, do this next. Do this. They did everything I told them, and they got the most beautiful masjid in Philadelphia. But where's the other one? Where did they come to help them? They jealous, envious. And these men say, Allahu Akbar, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. And this is why the powers of be, I sit amongst them. I know what they say. So they go to the shrine and say, know the religion. And they say, tell me, is Imam Muhammad's group? And he said, yeah, when he was alive. So what do you mean? He said, they separated now. They ain't practicing what he taught. They go and ask these questions. How could you want a bonus lead 400,000 Muslims, but yet the most you got is 200? Now, my sister was here. She would tell you, oh, Mirage, they trying. Yes. I didn't say they ain't trying. They'll get where they want to go 10 years from now. But we come together as one. 400,000? If it's 400,000 of us in New Jersey, how many is in New York? How many is in Connecticut? How many is in Philadelphia? You telling me we don't control the East Coast because we're not together. Then we got Eid. They call it Eid. The man said, that's white folks talk. It's Eid, your mother, Eid, it's Eid. So the two E's, and we can't even come together for that. We separate everything. See, when you move as one and they can see 100,000 people, they never said those 100,000 people was one group of nationality. They said, them Muslims put 100,000 people. Well, that's no comparison to the Muslims that are saying Black Lives Matter. And who created it? The men and women that followed Allah and Muhammad. We said we was black. Asiatic black. To make it on the cream of the planet Earth, follow the civilization, God of the universe. So we established black, and James Brown sung it. I'm black and proud. So here today, we want to stay away from black. But now you got white folks. You have Indians. You have Europeans. You got everybody saying black. I'm saying it because Allah touched their nature. I can't breathe. That'll get anybody's attention. I can't breathe. He said it 3, 4, 5, 10 times. Then he said, you're killing me. But when he said, my mama, my mama, my mama, every young white child went to their mother and said, mama, you never told us about this. And you wonder why them young teenagers, college children are out all over the world. And they're not saying Italian life matter, Irish life matter, Jews matter, Christians matter. They ain't say Islam matter. They're saying black lives matter because the black man caught more hell than all of them put together. The Holocaust is about 75 years old now. How many times can it go into 100, 400 years? How many times 400 can go into 75? Can't do it. So now they're coming out, and they're giving money, 100 million here, 100 million there, 100 million there. And this was shocked everybody, that Steve Soros, he's a billionaire, just like Warren Buffett and Bill Gates. He said, I'm coming behind Black Lives Matter. I'm going to help manage them and bring them to the level they're supposed to be. That's how Allah sends you. When you do something, you got to do it big. So can you imagine if all the messages came together to build something in the inner city that's never been built before? You would have billionaires saying, I want to help you. But until you start not doing nothing, Imam said, the spirit of the Quran means just that. That's not just for your immediate family. Because when you get to me, all you're going to say is, I took care of my wife. I gave you a beautiful wife. I took care of my mother. You wouldn't be here if it wasn't for her. I took care of my children. And I gave you beautiful offspring. What have you done for humanity? And so we're supposed to build so they can go out and say, look what the Muslims and Islam has did for us. Now the world comes behind you. Until that's happening, they overlook you. So Allah said, okay, go to sleep. Watch what I do. And you can't say that Naleb Elijah Muhammad, Minister Louis Farrakhan, Imam Wallace D. Muhammad, Dr. King, Malcolm X, Booker T. Washington, put them all together. No one has done what George Floyd has done in leaving here. That's Allah. You can't tell me that no one individual did that or a group of people did that. That was the will of Allah to shine light back on us. That now people know that they took our name, they took our language, they took our mothers and fathers, they took our nature from us, called us 3/5 of a human being. And my God, they took our God from us. And look at us today. We done came back and we have migrated back to our mothers and fathers of our ancestors. They were Muslim. Imam said, you know why they was Muslim? Because no such thing as putting Christians in slavery. So that's why we gravitate, because we got the nature of our parents. and we came back to our email thread. I thank you for listening. If I say anything to hurt anyone, I apologize from the bottom of my heart because that was not my intention. If I say anything wrong, I'm human, I make mistakes, so upon the law. If I said anything that allow you to stand up in your soul, stand up in your spirit, stand up in your being, that will fit you in the nature in which you was created, stand up in your obedience, your loyalty, your faith to Allah, your taqwa. Don't give me that credit. Give that credit to Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah glorify his name. I greet you from my father that a lot of people don't talk about, Adam. I greet you from him. I greet you from our father. Don't misconstrue. He's not our biological father. He's the father of all nationalities. He's the father of the intellectual mind. Abraham. 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 Whatever you want to call him, that's our father. Because he said that you don't need nobody to find God. He will find it. He found it on his own. And I greet you from Jesus. Jesus Christ, Christ means Muslim, and he said, I am in you, and you are in me. Whoa. But here come one after him, because he said, one will come after me. Here come one after him, and that's Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, give him the credit, he said, tell him, this is what Allah said, tell him, I'm a mortal human being just like you. So we just misconstrued that he's not human. He's a mortal human being, so we follow his ushwa. We don't want to know how tall he is. We don't know how light-skinned he was. We don't want to know his nationality because he had none. We don't know nothing about anything about what clothes he wears. We follow his ushwa, the nature in which he was given by Allah and taught by Allah. Perfect example. So we give him an excellent salute that is traditional. And we say, peace and blessing be upon him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But it only means you greet him, you greet all the ingredients that made that cake. That's all the prophets in one. Look how merciful God is. I greet you from the Arabic language of the Holy Quran. Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And tune in tomorrow, Imam Lyle Bay will be on from 7 to 8. Tasir al-Imam Wadrafdeen Muhammad, and following him will be our beautiful sister, Michelle Muhammad. She teaches how to eat to live. And then Thursday, Imam Elijah Obey, he returns for another hour from 7 to 8 on Thursday. And then Friday, we change. We don't do Juma over the air because I follow Imam Wadrafdeen Muhammad. Down now, Kareem and I stayed up to 3 in the morning until he found what the man said. Quote, he said, I'm going to teach you all Juma, but I'm going to let down now, Kareem lead y'all in Juma. And in that text, that format that he wrote out, he said, you go on the air, you're talking directly to Satan. This is sacred. Talk to Satan about anything, talking about the five principles, talking about Juma. You can talk about anything, but you cannot do Juma. That's sacred. Do not do it on the air because you're talking directly to Satan, and Satan already trying to figure out what you're doing, where you're going. But you don't invite him. I said, don't say no more. No, I got more. I said, you don't have to. I'm like Barry Gordon. You give me a lyric, I know a hit. I don't have to hear the whole song. So I came back and changed one o'clock to 5. So you don't misconstrue that I'm doing is no two Jumas, one Juma. So I don't do Juma. But what I do is open the line to all the Islamic world. I can't put Block Talk Radio in like I'm doing now. And I ask you all to give me your two questions. And so far it's been growing. Everybody's talking. It's, you know what, brothers and sisters, a sister called me, and she said, brother, man, she said, if I saw a brother do that, before he would let us call him, he would say, mail it in, text it in, so he can learn what we're going to say. Or he'll get four brothers to be with him just in case he don't know. You're the only one that will ever come to our mind. A lot of things come to our mind. And you answers the question, unbelievable. I said, the reason I opened it wasn't so much me. I opened the line so my 3 million people, because I went viral 3 times, can hear our conversation, because we don't come to them. We don't go to their churches. We don't go to their parties. We don't go around them. So now they can come on my line and hear our conversation, and we might plant that seed, and our last month I'll allow it to grow. Thank you for listening, and let's make a dua to all those who have passed away from COVID-19. May Allah separate the false from the goodness, as thou separate the east from the west, and grant them Jannah. And those who are sick, we pray Allah can lift the burden from them. And those who help the ill, and those who are worried about their loved ones, we ask Allah to give y'all the strength to continue to do what you're doing. Sure, Allah Almighty speaking. Allah speaks the truth. Thank you. Peace and love. Thank you for tuning in.